Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
What's up, Mark Brody in for Lawrence Holmes on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago Cubs will open the season against the Milwaukee Brewers a week from tomorrow night, assuming no complications. That'd be Friday, July 24th, 6:10 at Wrigley Field. And, of course, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer, Zach Zabin will be on the call, presumably for all 60 games this year. The Brewers were 89-73 last season, runner-up in the National League Central, finishing two games behind the division champions, St. Louis Cardinals, and they were five better than the Cubs. Joining us now to talk about the crew is Will Salmon from The Athletic. What's going on, Will? How are you?
Hey, Mark. Doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. What is the on-paper consensus for the Brewers 2020? Are they better, worse, or the same this season as last season?
Yeah, that's kind of a general question, but it's the right question to ask specifically with the Brewers, just because they made a ton of moves. There's no denying that, but the question remains of how much better they actually got, and if they surrounded Christian Yelich with enough talent, because everybody knows what he's capable of. For me, I think they lost too much in Moustakas and Grandal, but they did make some nice value additions in Abiesel Garcia in the outfield, for one, and we'll see what they get from their bounce back candidates, such as like a guy like Justin Smoke, or even further down the road of a Jed Jerko at third base, just guys that really have to prove themselves. So I think kind of a consensus would be like around 500, possibly a little bit above. But you know, they're not that far off of, in my opinion, at least, the teams atop the Central in the projections. I think there's those four teams that are all projected to be within a couple of games of each other, actually, in a 60-game season. So, yeah, they're probably the fourth on that list, but it's not by much.
Yeah, and I agree with you, too, about the two big losses with, obviously, with Moustakas. And, you know, with those guys being gone, it's almost like quantity over quality now with some of the guys that they have put in here. Obviously, Yasmani Grandal now on the south side of the city here in Chicago. Starting pitching-wise, it doesn't – like when I look at the names in this rotation, it's not necessarily a scary-looking, like a fear-factor rotation. I like Brandon Woodruff a lot, and I assume that he's probably penciled in as the number one starter for the Brewers this year. But what about the starting pitching for the Brewers this year?
Yeah, it's very similar to how you describe the position players, where it's that quantity over quality thing in some ways. At least that's the way I look at it. I think you're right also with your take on Brandon Woodruff. He's definitely like one of those fantasy baseball darlings, but he's also somebody that I feel like is on the cusp of really breaking out. I mean, he made an all-star team last year for the first time, of course, and that really showed you what he was sort of capable of. Unfortunately, we're only going to be able to see the guy throw about, what, 10, 12 times if he makes every start in a 60-game season, so that's kind of a shame. But for the Brewers, he's their number one, and then it's kind of like, yeah, you got a bunch of guys after him that makes them pretty actually well-suited from a pitching standpoint for a 60-game season, because they could operate very similarly to how they did in September last year, where they didn't really ask a whole lot of their starting pitchers in a traditional sense. They had guys throw maybe three or four innings, sometimes five. They got a little crazy sometimes and went five innings. And then they put somebody else in, and they sort of bridged it to their high-leverage guys. So we could see that quite a bit with maybe somebody like Adrian Hauser, who could maybe be a traditional number two or number three, but in a 60-game season, maybe they only ask him to throw four or five innings or so, and then they throw somebody like Freddy Peralta right after that for two or three innings before getting to some of the veteran relievers or the guys they want to count on, like David Phelps or Corey Knebel or Josh Hader. So you got a lot of different pieces, a lot of versatile pieces, and that should work to their advantage over the regular season. And then really in the postseason, if they even get there, that's really where the question of quality will really come into focus.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because Craig Counsell, obviously a position player in his life, but he loves playing around with the starters and the bullpen guys and having used an opener. I think he was one of the first guys to do that in the playoff game. Do you get a sense that pitchers like it when you never know what's going to happen to them, or are they creatures of habit? And how has Craig Counsell's ways been received by fans?
I think fans here are pretty used to it by now. I think they understand, like, it's not going to be sort of what you were used to seeing in, like, the 2000s or even the 2010s for that matter, where it's like you got the 1-5 and you got a closer and you got a guy who pitches the eighth. It doesn't really work that way, nor really should it. I mean, for example, like, we had a question somebody had asked Craig the other day about Josh Hader pitching the ninth inning, and it's like, well, sure, maybe ideally, but you know, you could really use Josh Hader in the seventh inning too if somebody's best hitter is up, and he's been operating that way for quite some time now. That's not a new thing, of course, but I think fans are used to it, and I think pitchers, you know, the Brewers, they make it pretty clear who they are when they're pursuing guys, when they're making transactions. Yeah, they're not making the flashiest of signings or transactions, but they're making sure that they're the right fits at least. And so that's communicated on the front end of, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is who we are. And so it's not as if they're joining here with any surprises at this point. So I think that they're pretty well aware of what's going to happen, or put it this way, they're very open to the idea of them not being used in a traditional sense. I've talked to a couple of different starting pitchers about that, and they get it. They're like, hey, we don't know exactly what's going to happen here. We have a pretty good idea. We're being stretched out, and we're going to sort of operate like, hey, we're going to do the best we can to get as many outs as possible, but when he wants to make a switch, he's going to make a switch, and we're okay with that.
That's Will Salmon, Brewers beat writer for The Athletic. I'm Mark Rohde, filling in for Lawrence Holmes here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score here until 2 o'clock today. You've mentioned Josh Hader a couple of times. They obviously ask a lot of him, justifiably so. Is he good to go, and can he be stretched out any way they want him to be this year?
Yeah, I think he's pretty good to go. We saw him pitch last night, and he was pretty effective. He's been working on a different pitch, adding a changeup to his repertoire. Not as if he really needs it. I mean, his fastball is as good as he gets, of course, so we'll see how much he utilizes it. But no doubt he's going to be a valuable piece again. I think that they could be a little bit more liberal with their usage of him in this season, just because if Corey Knebel is healthy, that gives them another veteran presence, another guy who's gotten out some big spots before. So it kind of depends on how much they could use Knebel or how healthy he is coming off of Tommy John surgery. Right now he's battling back. He's looking good. He's on track to make their opening day roster and be part of that active roster group. And that would mean good things. And again, that would probably enable Counsell to use Hader earlier perhaps than he otherwise would. And that could be a boon for their bullpen, which also features, like I said, somebody like David Phelps and a couple of other intriguing prospects and intriguing pieces.
So I'm trying to figure out where the Brewers are going from here. And if you're right, and, you know, I know it's just a prediction and we're here talking on the radio, if they are, you know, fourth in line when it comes to the Cubs, Reds, and Cardinals, and they're around 500, what is the direction of this organization? Because it feels like they just sort of completed a rebuild where they got themselves back into contention, have had some really nice years. Are they a team that would trade guys away at the supposed August 31st trade deadline this year? Are they doing a rolling rebuild, or what is the future of this era of Brewers baseball? I'm a little confused.
Yeah, no, that's that's a great question. I think it's really hard to say what they would do at the deadline. It would be hard to say what anybody would do, just because.
Right.
What would the market look like, right? I mean, like, yeah. You're only asking for, like, what, 3 weeks of production, and who knows how crazy people's records are going to be. And so that's tough to predict, but what the Brewers do have is a lot of flexibility with their contracts. I mean, they signed Yelich to that big deal, but they were able to do that because they're not really committed to many other guys beyond him. You know, they get Ryan Braun off the books. This is his last guaranteed year. They have the option for him, which, no chance I think that gets picked up, although they could rework a deal for him to bring him back. But point is that a lot of money is coming off from him. They signed a bunch of guys to one-year deals. All these all these additions that they made, with the exception of two guys, Avisel Garcia and Josh Lindblom, everybody else was signed to a one-year deal with an option. So they have plenty of flexibility to maneuver things and to add or bring back guys. So that works all in their favor, of course. And I think that with Yelich, Keston Hira, they have a nice little nucleus of young talent there. And their pitching staff is better, I think, than people give it credit for. I feel like with Brandon Woodruff, Adrian Hauser, Freddie Peralta, Corbin Burns, they have some nice young pieces there that they could really build on for the next couple of years at least.
So what's the deal with Brian Braun? Is he injured right now, Braun, the now officially around forever guy?
No, not that we know of. He's just a guy. I mean, I was looking at it this morning because I was kind of curious about that myself. You know, in the spring training, he got 3 at-bats. So, you know, and he had a little bit of an issue back then, but nothing too major. It's just that he's just not going to, from what we were told yesterday, I asked about just because he hasn't participated in too many sim games, but it's just he's just not going to be getting that many at-bats. He's just not a guy traditionally who has had that many at-bats to get ready for spring training. I do think that once he does start playing, it could be a good year for him just because they got the DH, and you know that puts him in the lineup a little bit more frequently perhaps than we were thinking that he would be in there for. So I think he could definitely produce at a higher level than maybe we thought he would.
Yeah, he's what a career, man. I mean, he's had a great career. There's no doubt about it, but obviously, he kind of screwed himself over with some public relations and some untoward things. And now it's like, I don't want to say he's coasting, but he's always there. Do you think that, is Ryan Braun going to finish his career in a Milwaukee Brewers uniform?
I think there's a decent chance of it. Just because, I mean, he's so tight with ownership here. And I think that they will figure out a way to bring him back and rework that deal. There's no chance of that option, like I said, being picked up. That's just way too much money for a guy who's been reduced to sort of a part-time role at this point. But I could see him coming back for sure, especially if the DH is back. I'm not, you know, who knows what the rule, if there will be a rule change there for good. But I think that idea has sort of rejuvenated him a bit. And we'll see after this season. I think that in January he was, I don't want to say committed to the idea of this being his last season, but it sounded as if he gave that a lot of thought and he was thinking that this was going to be it. But with it only being 60 games, it seems as if he's changed his mind on that. So I would assume that they would find a way to bring him back. Nothing in the game really surprises you, of course, but that would be my assumption.
Who do you like winning the National League Central? Who's your top two?
Yeah, I'll go Reds, and man, I hate to do this. But I do like the Brewers to make the playoffs this year, just okay, because of the way that they're equipped. I hate how that sounds, especially on the Chicago station, right? You know,
Right. Playoffs. Okay. This
is this homer. But yeah, I like the Reds a lot. I feel like I like their additions, and I just feel like the Brewers are just well equipped to handle this weird set of circumstances in front of them.
Yeah, no, that's all good. I actually am picking the – it's kind of funny you say that because this is now I'm going to sound – I am very similar to you because I am picking the Reds to win the National League Central. It's just kind of fun to pick the Reds considering how they've augmented their team. And check me out, Will. I picked the Cubs for the wild card.
There you go. That's the way to do it, man, right?
I think we're really in our own little bubbles here, aren't we?
Yeah, we covered the bases, at least, hey?
Exactly. Your constituents will be happy, and so will mine. Will, thanks for your time, man. I appreciate it.
No, anytime. Thanks for having me on, Mark. Take care, man.
All right, man. Yep. That is Will Salmon, Brewers beat writer for The Athletic. You could find him on Twitter, @WillSalmon.